podcast where two best friends force each other to watch movies they wouldn't ordinarily watch, and then see if they're still friends when it's all over. I'm Sam.
I'm Mandy.
Are we still friends?
Currently.
You hesitated. You hesitated.
I hesitated for a minuscule second.
That's true.
Like,
what I do now.
We'll get there. We'll get there. No, you didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, okay, cool. Cool. All right, so we're still friends.
We're still confirmed. Friends. Yes.
All right, this week's category was based off a comic book or a graphic novel.
Yeah.
And there are so many choices.
There are a lot of choices. Most of the choices we'd already seen.
Well, I feel like some of the more popular ones are like anything Marvel and DC is putting out right
Yeah,
now.
And those I don't think we even considered as options because that's just, it's too...
Because there are...
It's too mainstream.
We didn't really go for mainstream movies.
No, we didn't.
And also, like, there's 10 years of Marvel movies. That's 10 years of movies that we've mostly seen together.
And I've seen multiple times, because I loved them.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, we went to see them.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Was I with you when I fell asleep while watching Captain America? I think I was.
No, you were with me, because you asked me all these questions after, and I was like,
Didn't you watch this movie?
I was like, you were with me, like, 10 minutes ago, and then you told me you'd fallen asleep.
Yeah, like, I fell asleep. I liked it. I've gone back and actually watched the whole movie, but... I don't know what the combination of days were leading up to it. And I was like, no, I am good. I'm totally good to go hang out with you and go to the movies. And I fell asleep, like, after he got changed, after he had the super serum. But I think I fell asleep, like, right after Stanley Tucci died.
Yeah, and then, something like that.
And then, like, I woke up as he's flying a plane into the ice. And I'm just like, wait, how did we... Who's the bad guy? I'm so confused.
Yeah, you miss, like, Bucky dying and, like, all this stuff, and you're just like, what happened?
What did I miss?
That was funny.
What's going on? So, yeah, so we tried to pick movies that were a bit different, and I think it's funny that I actually picked your movie for you.
You did, because we were just, like, running through a list, and you're like, oh, I haven't seen that one, and I was like...
No, not even that. Was, like, you were saying, oh, I don't know what to pick for this... And I had been looking through, like, graphic novels and stuff like that. And I was like, all right, I'll let you in on a secret. This actor you really like is in this movie you really like that I have never seen that is based on a graphic novel. There you go. You're welcome.
Yeah, like, basically. Yeah. No, exactly.
And then me, I had a totally different movie picked out, but I had one picked out, like, from the beginning. This was one that we had talked about for a while. So I had a silly movie picked out, and then once you picked your movie, I had to change it. Again, like, yeah, I can't...
That text conversation was great. You're like, you haven't...
You haven't watched the movies yet, right? Because I kept meaning to text you and ask you, like, hey, you haven't seen all of the movies yet, right? And you're like, no, we're doing that the weekend? And I'm like, oh, right. Well, I'm going to change it.
Yeah.
Fun fact. Update. You spent most of this week thinking that you were going to be watching a silly movie today, and you're actually going to be watching kind of a serious movie today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because, granted, my movie is a very serious movie, so you're really comparing apples to oranges in that regard.
Yeah, and that was what I was thinking about is, like, because I picked your movie, so I was thinking about it for days, like, I can't watch her movie and then watch my movie.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, that's a really bad transition. Like, we've done some bad Sam and Mandy double features on this podcast.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That would have been a really, really bad one.
Yeah, no, I think...
So let's get into it.
I apologize, I was yawning.
You're always yawning.
I'm always yawning.
It's fine.
It's actually particularly early.
It is. Currently. It is pretty early for us. Well, it's not early for me. I've been up for 5 hours. But it's early for Mandy.
It is early.
So Mandy won the rock, paper, scissors, as per usual. So we're going to watch Mandy's movie first. Mandy, what movie based on a book or comic book or graphic novel are we watching?
We are watching Road to Perdition.
Road to Perdition.
Came out in 2002.
Okay.
Rated R, a good solid 2 hours.
Okay.
Okay. It is based on the graphic novel written by Max Allen Collins and Richard Piers Rayner.
Mm-hmm.
The screenplay was written by David Self.
Okay. I don't know who that is.
Okay. Myself either. This movie, I'm trying to think of the right word. This movie has just an incredible cast.
Oh, yeah. I saw the cast list and I was like, what?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. What? Like, just... scaling what's...
And, yeah. I have a confession that this movie came out in 2002.
Yeah.
I have only seen this movie once.
What?
In theaters.
What?
When I was 14.
Damn.
So...
Oh, yeah.
I have not seen this since I was 14.
Your family has weird movie dates.
Yes. My mother...
Yeah.
My mother...
shout out to Brenda. We love you, Brenda.
We love you, Brenda. Brenda can't figure out how to find this podcast, even though I sent her the link many times.
If it makes you feel any better, when my mother got her newest or most recent computer, she said, "Oh, can you set it up for me? I want to watch the YouTube." The whole YouTube.
I want to watch the whole YouTube.
Like, I think she would have fallen for that April Fool's joke that Google did where they were releasing YouTube on DVD. Like, I think she would have tried to buy it.
I
really
did. I didn't know that was a thing.
It was, well, every year they do a huge April Fool's prank, and one year YouTube did one where they were releasing YouTube videos in installments on DVD, and you order it like Netflix.
Oh, my God. I did not notice that.
Oh, well, I knew, because I was like, keep this away from Peggy, she will buy it.
Yes, but my mother liked to take me to movies that were, actually, both my parents liked to take me to movies that were rated R or explicit. And I probably shouldn't have seen them.
Yeah.
Like, when I was 14, this movie gave me anxiety.
Okay.
And we'll get into why later.
Okay.
But it gave me anxiety at 14.
Okay,
but,
fair.
You know.
Fair.
Yeah. So the cast of this movie, I'm going to go in order of, like, appearance.
Okay.
Because that's how it was listed. Tyler Hoechlin?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Hoechlin? I think it's Hoechlin.
Maybe Hoechlin. He was on Seventh Heaven.
I was going to say, I never watched Seventh Heaven, but that's the dude from Teen Wolf, right?
It's one of the dudes from Teen Wolf. Yeah.
I couldn't get into Teen Wolf. Mostly because it came out, like, 10 years after I was a teenager.
Yeah, and just because I thought this was funny, he is a year older than I am.
Oh. And he's on Teen Wolf.
And he's on Teen Wolf.
Okay.
So...
Hollywood at its finest.
Liam Aiken.
Oh, I know him. He's in
A Series of Unfortunate Events. Yes. He played Klaus in the movie.
Yep.
Yeah. Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Okay.
Tom Hanks.
Yep.
Paul Newman.
I love Paul Newman.
Daniel Craig.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yep. Okay. I'm going to apologize now for the...
Ciaran
Hines, who played Aberforth in the Harry Potter series.
He's also in, like, a ton of British
things. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Yeah.
Yeah, a whole bunch of stuff. Jude Law.
Jude Law?
Jude Law.
What?
And Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci coming back!
Yep. There's also one guy, and I forgot to put him on this list. I think it's Dylan Baker or something. He's in everything. He's one of those actors that you know his face.
I know who he is.
Yeah.
I know who he is. Yeah. I know who he is. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, it's a huge cast of amazing actors.
Uh-huh.
And this is just the basic plot, because it gets really deep.
Okay.
Mike Sullivan, played by Tom Hanks, works as a hitman for Paul Newman's character.
Okay.
He sees him as a father figure.
Okay.
He's very attached to his boss.
Sure.
Did his
boss, like, take him in?
Basically, yeah, he was an orphan.
He's like the dude from The Godfather. He's like the consigliere.
Very similar.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Very, very similar.
Cool.
His son witnesses him on the job.
Oh.
And
I assume it was not take your son to work day.
It was not take your son to work day. But as a result, he finds himself on the run trying to save his son's life and his own life and getting revenge on the people who have hurt him.
Oh. Fun.
It's very much a crime thriller.
Yeah.
It's a revenge storyline.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But
a lot. Everything you're saying, like, this just screams Mandy film.
It does.
The guy's name is fucking Michael Sullivan.
I know. You cannot get more Irish. Like, in the movie,
unless his name is O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
If his name was
Sully Sullivan. Sully Sullivan is probably as much as you
Michael
can get.
Sully O'Sullivan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a few facts. Nothing crazy this week.
Okay.
This was loosely based on actual events of mobsters of the time.
Mob shit.
This movie takes place in the 30s.
Yeah.
So, you know, very much a Capone. I was going to say the height of gang.
The very few things that I knew about this movie is that I knew it was based on a graphic novel. Mm-hmm. I knew it had Tom Hanks in it, and I knew it was set in, like, Prohibition 20s, 30s type deal.
Yeah.
That's all I knew.
Yeah. Paul Newman was unanimously the producer's first pick.
To play
his character.
He is perfect.
Yeah, and he's great. And I do think, and I might be wrong, but I do believe that this was his last, like, live-action movie.
Like, the last one. Yeah.
Because he's done a lot of voiceovers.
Well, he's
and
dead.
Voice work. He did a lot of voice work after.
He did a bit, yeah.
And the rest of his life. Like, he did Cars and stuff. But
yeah, yeah.
This was his last, like, live-action film.
Okay.
The graphic novel mm-hmm. called Road to Perdition is an American homage to the manga.
It's an American homage.
Homage, whatever. Homage also works. Anyway.
We're going to repeat that it's still early, but I've been up for 5 hours.
Yeah, and I'm only this much into my coffee. So, like, and you can't see it, but it's very small.
It's not a visual medium.
I know, but, like.
She's, like, an inch into her coffee that is, like, a foot tall. So, this is going to be a great day.
Yes, it is.
There it is.
Manga? Because I hear it both ways.
I think it's a personal preference.
I think it is a perfect, like, GIF and JIF.
Well, no, I think people who say JIF are, like, awful. They need to be lit on fire.
A plus. That's why we're friends. The only thing we agree on is GIF. It's a hard G.
Because it stands for graphics.
Exactly. Anyway.
We just alienated everybody that we're like.
No. And I do this. I'm like, I understand that the makers of the GIF say it JIF, but it stands for the word graphic, which is a hard G.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No arguments.
Yeah, no. Preaching to the converted.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah. Converted.
Choir.
Yeah, whatever. No, it's both. I've heard it both ways.
I have not heard it
both ways. Oh, you've never heard it the other way?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Manga series called Lone Wolf and the Cub.
Okay.
By Kazu Koiki?
Kazuo Koiki?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know. I didn't know.
No, that's okay. I'm learning a little bit of Japanese pronunciation. Yeah. The company I work for is based in Japan.
Exactly,
so.
Yeah. And the only other fact I really have, there really wasn't a lot of, like, production-y fun notes on this movie.
It doesn't sound like it's a terribly pleasant movie, either. No.
That the word perdition is another word for extinction or damnation.
Okay.
It's from the French,
Perdu,
meaning lost. Okay. And they only actually mention Perdu twice in the film.
Perdition.
Sorry, Purdue. Yeah, I was reading. They only actually mention perdition twice in the film.
Okay.
Because it is a place.
Okay.
It's a physical place in the movie, also being a...
I aspire to be wealthy enough to own a home that has a name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that what it is?
No, like it's a town.
Oh, never mind.
But I agree.
Unrelated.
But I agree with your sentiment. Yes.
It was thought adjacent.
Yeah. So that's all I have for this.
Okay. So that's going to be a heavy 2 hours, for sure.
It's definitely a heavy 2 hours, but it's a heavy Tom Hanks 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, like,
it's... Okay. Yeah. It's reasonable.
Yeah.
It's reasonable. and then we're going to watch my movie, which I'd love to say is a change of pace, but it's going to be a heavy hour and a half after that.
We picked relatively short movies this week.
You picked a 2-hour movie.
I mean, comparatively to the rest of our...
Mandy, you picked a fucking 3-hour movie. Unless you pick a movie that's longer than 3 hours... You're never, like...
Well, this is shorter than my average.
Your average is usually, like, 2 hours.
Why you gotta poke holes in
my... I'm the one who picks the long movies, and then I randomly am like, we're gonna watch a cartoon that's an hour and a half. Because that's what we're doing today. So, we're going to watch Persepolis.
Yes.
Persepolis came out in 2007. It's rated PG-13, and it's a cool 96 minutes.
All right.
It was directed by Vincent, and these are a lot of French names, and I did not take French, so, I'm so sorry. Paranaud, Vincent Paranaud, and Marjan Sartrapi.
Okay.
They also wrote this screenplay, and this is based on the graphic novel of the same name by Marjan Sartrapi. So she wrote the graphic novel, which she also illustrated.
Okay.
Then she wrote the screenplay, was a director and an executive producer.
Excellent.
And it's autobiographical.
Okay.
The cast, not a ton of recognizable people, as it was originally produced in French.
Okay.
So the French cast is Chiara Mastroianni.
Okay.
Who plays Marjan. Danielle Darrow. Catherine Deneuve. Do you know?
The name is really
familiar.
She was
a Bond girl.
Okay.
And Simon Abkarian. The plot, based on the autobiographical graphic novel, a precocious and outspoken Iranian girl grows up during the Islamic Revolution mm-hmm. in Iran. So do you know anything about the Islamic Revolution?
I know a little bit.
A little bit?
My boyfriend's a history buff, so I yeah. have heard bits and pieces of yeah. it, but I don't know in-depth anything.
Yeah, it's, this movie is, I'm gonna pull out another phrase that I've used on this podcast. In the current political climate.
Yeah. I wish this was a video podcast because then you could see what she just did in preparation for said phrase.
It was very pompous. Just know it was. Very, very pompous.
Very much.
It is alarming at some of the warning signs that are noticed by the characters in this movie and how well they correlate to today.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say at
okay.
this point.
Fair enough.
I will give a couple of, I will call them fun facts, because while the movie is of a very serious subject matter, the Islamic Revolution, it does its best to stay a little bit lighthearted
yeah.
at times. So Chiara Mastroianni and Catherine Deneuve play the same roles in the English and French.
Okay, so is this redubbed?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I'm going to make you watch the English dub. I won't make you watch with subtitles.
I appreciate that. I very much appreciate that.
you haven't had enough coffee for subtitles.
No.
For a subtitled French movie today.
No.
So Chiara, who played Marjan, and, Catherine, who played her mother, do the same voice. They do it in French, and they also do it in English.
Excellent.
So, in the English version, the grandmother is Gina Rowlands.
That name is so familiar.
You would probably best know her as the old lady in The Notebook.
Got it. Okay.
I'm so mad that that was the comparison I had to use for Gina Rowlands.
Was there another one? I might have gotten the other one.
Have you seen Hope Floats?
Yes.
Oh, she's the mother, the grandmother.
Okay, yeah, that would have worked too.
Okay. All right, I feel a little bit better.
All right.
Not that that movie is a piece of cinematic gold either.
No,
but it's infinitely more enjoyable.
And it makes you feel better.
It's infinitely more enjoyable because I worship the ground Sandra Bullock walks on, and Harry Connick Jr. is a gift from God. Anyway, so Gina Rowlands plays the grandmother, and the father's voice in the English dub is Sean Penn.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. And he actually, like, I didn't know it was Sean Penn because it's not very ostentatious or anything like that. I don't know of another good word
That's
for
a good
Sean
word
Penn.
For Sean Penn.
That was the first one that came to mind, and I thought it was perfect. And to round that out, Chiara Mastroianni and Catherine Deneuve are mother and daughter in real life.
Yay!
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So the next one is, this movie came out in 2007. The Iranian government protested the release of this film.
Because why not?
It does not show the Iranian government in a very positive light. It does not show some of the fanatics in a very positive light. They sent a letter to the French embassy, because this movie's French.
Mm-hmm.
Marjan eventually moves out of Iran and moves to Paris.
Yeah.
So they sent a letter to the French embassy, trying to get them to stop production on the film. They pressured the 2007 Bangkok Film Festival to drop it from their lineup, and they protested. They actually protested the screening during the 37th Wellington Film Festival in New Zealand.
Oh.
Yeah. They did not want people to go see this movie.
Yeah. Well, when...
They did not succeed.
Yeah, well, when you're obviously the bad guy.
Yeah, if I guess my point of view on it is, if you don't like how you're portrayed in media, maybe the problem is you?
Yeah.
Maybe. That's not always the case.
Here's the thing. If you can find a common denominator,
yeah.
it's usually the denominator that is the cause.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 3,000 publications could say you're an asshole.
Uh-huh.
The publications are not wrong.
Yeah, it's not the publications.
You're an asshole.
Yeah.
Mr. Cheeto.
cough.
Cough, cough, Cheeto head, cough.
And then for my last fact, I did the same thing as you, where I did the etymology of a word.
And this is why we're friends, and this is why we're friends.
So I wanted to just talk about the title Persepolis.
Yes, and please. What it means. Because I was like, what is this?
Because they never directly address it in the film. So Persepolis is Greek for Persian city.
Okay.
It's the Greek transliteration of the old Persian word Parsa, which meant city of Persians. So that whole area was Persia. Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, that parts of Saudi Arabia, that was Persia in the ancient world. Parsa, or Persepolis, so when the Greeks kind of invaded Alexander the Great and everything, they made all their own names for things. So the Persians called their town Parsa. The Greeks called it Persepolis, was an actual ancient city that existed in Persia. Okay. And it was considered one of the great cities. And you can still visit the ruins in southern Iran.
Oh.
So it is the... We can talk a little bit more about it after you've seen the movie, but the title is supposed to show that the greatness lies in the past.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to revisiting this after I've seen it.
Yeah.
And can give a little more insight.
Yeah.
Because I have a sneaking suspicion. I'm going to have a lot of very aggressive feelings about this movie. I'm just throwing it out there now.
So,
I'm going to have aggressive feelings.
Before we watch the movies, like I said before, I was not going to make her watch a serious movie. We were going to go from Road to Perdition into Flash Gordon.
Yeah. Which... I mean,
I think you should still see it.
I'm still going to watch Flash Gordon. But yeah, because when I share very little of the podcast, like, with my family. And so when someone asked me last week what the next movies were, and I told them it was Road to Perdition and Flash Gordon, they looked at me like, why?
Yeah.
How?
I mean, don't get me wrong, Flash Gordon is way more of a Sam pick.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if you had been like, Brenda, Sam's making me watch Flash Gordon, she would have been like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I think that Persepolis is also a Sam pick.
Okay.
I think it's more of a Mandy pick than a Sam pick. I definitely picked this movie thinking that you would like it. Like, Flash Gordon, I think it's dumb and it's hilarious. So I think you'd like it. But I think that this movie, like, because it's introspective and everything that you typically like out of movies, I thought you would like it.
I do usually like that.
So we're going to go watch our movies. And it might be a little, like, 3.5-4 hours. Not too bad.
About 4 hours, yeah.
Yeah, not too bad. The huge.
The huge.
And then we'll come back and, we'll have stuff to say.
We'll fight it out.
We'll fight it out. Now I'm nervous. I didn't want to fight. I picked a cartoon to avoid fighting.
You picked a cartoon about Iran.
I picked a... Okay, fair enough.
Want to avoid fighting? Are you kidding?
All right, maybe I'm not as awake as I claim to be. All right, so we'll be back in a couple of hours.
Bye.
Bye. And we're back.
We are back.
We're back. We watched our movies. Mandy's pissed. You know.
I wouldn't necessarily say pissed. I'm frustrated.
You're feeling things.
I'm feeling things and I'm frustrated.
Okay.
And my frustration is pointed at you, but not necessarily your fault.
This is not the first time frustration has been pointed at me.
No.
From you. I don't even know if it's the first time frustration's been pointed at me from you today. Like,
I mean, today it might be the first.
No.
This week, definitely not.
Oh, no. Forever, no. Like, not even this week. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, so we watched your movie first, and I wrote down a lot of notes.
You did, and I was getting nervous. So, Sam.
Yeah.
While we're here.
Yeah.
My movie had a Rotten Tomato score.
Oh.
We're going to do this now because we always forget.
I always forget.
Has a Rotten Tomato score of 81% and it's certified fresh.
Nice. My movie's not certified fresh, but my movie had a Rotten Tomato score of 96%.
Wow.
Yep, and it had an audience score of 92%.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right,
so Sam. I don't fuck around when it comes to the Rotten Tomatoes scores.
No, she doesn't, guys.
Even if I forget to tell you what they are, just know that with the exception of Can't Hardly Wait, they've all been above 85%.
Yeah, mine have not.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway. So, Sam, did you like Road to Perdition?
I did. Actually, it was a, and we can talk more about it a little bit later, but, like, it was a visually stunning film.
Yes.
I'm not necessarily, it's one of the same issues with The Godfather, is, like, I'm not into crime. Like, yeah. I am, the good guy has to win. Like, I'm not on the side of the bad guys. This movie did make me sympathetic to the bad guys, similar to The Godfather. It's a very good story, but this is not normally a movie that I'd pick. I don't like gangster movies.
Yeah, but in this movie specifically, I think the line of who's a good guy, who's a bad guy is extremely blurred.
It's very gray.
There's only one true...
bad guy?
Good person in this movie.
And it's Michael, and the 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And even at the end, spoiler alert, he fucking shoots someone. Yeah, he did.
No, his dad did. He couldn't do it. Oh, no, I'm thinking of...
I'm pretty sure he shot him.
No, because remember he said, I couldn't do it?
No, because he said, and I never held a gun again.
Who did he kill? I'm, like, trying to remember.
Jude Law!
Oh, that's right. I forgot he killed Jude Law. I was thinking of the scene in the beach house.
Yeah, where he fucking kills Jude Law! Was I looking down at the moment, like, when I was
writing? I think you must have. I'm 99% sure that was Tom Hanks.
Because I was pretty positive it was Michael.
Now I'm going to go look it up. Because I'm pretty convinced it was Tom Hanks who killed him, not...
Because I distinctly was writing down, go Michael, shoot the creepy guy. So I'm pretty sure that it was. Anyway, regardless of that, I thought it was a visually stunning movie. And I have a lot of things that I wrote down about camera shots and things like that. So, like, the shot when Michael is watching, when he's the witness to the murder of Ciaran Hines,
mm-hmm.
and he's looking through the crack on the floor, and it's actually, like, the camera's moving around, and it's shot through a crack in the floor, like, you see.
Yeah, isn't feet. That amazing?
And that was a really, really good shot. There was another one, when Rooney and Sullivan are walking off, so they're all sitting at a table, and so Daniel Craig is Connor, and Connor's sitting at the table, and he kind of fades out of focus, and then you see Paul Newman and Tom Hanks walk off, and then it shifts focus back to...
Yeah.
Like, that was a really cool shot.
Yep.
So this movie just overall was visually stunning.
Yes, it is.
So I did like it. Okay. Yes.
Did you get swept up at any point?
Yeah, I did. I got really into it where are my notes? I got really into it when, basically the whole scene with Connor murdering his family. Like, I was like, no, don't you fucking dare. Don't you fucking dare do that. And then he did it, and I was not happy. So yeah, I did get swept up in that.
Good.
Yeah.
Did you get taken out at any point?
Yeah.
When was it too unbelievable for you?
Not unbelievable, but it did, like, we got, like, over an hour into the movie, and then the movie just decided it was a bank heist movie. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It uses the term crime very uniformly, because, yeah, it turns, the beginning part of the movie is very much a hitman kill-kill. Well, and so, then it all of a sudden jumps to bank robbery.
Not even like a hitman type deal. It was like, it was like, you have to protect, it was The Godfather. So it was like, you have to protect the family. This kid knows too much. We got to take him out. We got to take out his whole family. Like, yeah, I got that. They're on the run. And then all of a sudden, they become bank robbers. And you get the really lighthearted scenes. Like, I was dying laughing at the scenes of Michael learning to drive the car.
Oh my god, yeah. And he actually learned how to drive. Tom Hanks, like,
the scene where Tom Hanks walks out of the first bank and the car just literally rolls
so
out
slow.
So slowly.
Yeah.
Like, I was losing it. And then the next one, he, like,
There's no rush.
No, he, get, he, there's he no gets rush. In the car. So then the second one, he gets in the car, and then, like, they make it, like, 5 feet, and then it jerk stops.
Yeah.
And then the next one, he just drives right past, and Tom Hanks is in the street, like, what? You need to come back. Like, that was a point where I was able to get back into the movie, because after that, you know, he gets shot. They have that whole shootout with Dylan Baker. I totally recognize mm-hmm. that guy.
Yep.
And it started to become, like, a serious father-son film, and I was like, all right, I'm brought back in. But I literally wrote down, like, so, like, halfway through this movie, it becomes a fucking bank heist movie? Like,
they need money.
No, they didn't need money.
They didn't take the money from
but
the other
guy. But that's not why they were stealing money.
No, it's not why.
They were stealing money to fuck with Rooney and Capone and get their attention.
Yes.
But, like, and so I got
but they
it.
They also needed money.
Well, yeah, you all.
Also, I did find the answer to our question.
Oh?
It was Sullivan, not Michael Jr.
Oh!
Yeah, because that was the thing, is he was holding the gun. I was like, yeah, no, I'm like 99% sure I knew this.
I was probably, yeah, I was looking down writing my note of, yeah, shoot the creepy guy, yeah. And I missed him not actually shooting.
Because,
the creepy
guy. Literally sat there with a gun, and then you see Tom Hanks with a gun, pull it out, and he falls forward towards Michael Jr., which is kind of the indication that it came from behind him, not in front of him. And then
don't sass me.
Michael Jr. goes, I couldn't do it. And then Sullivan goes, I know.
I think you Han-Soloed him.
He basically Han-Soloed him and saved him from ever having to kill, because he did not want him to turn out.
I remember that part was like, I saw the look in my father's face of him not wanting me to turn out exactly like him. And that was the last time I ever held a gun.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, I still got the, like, nice message of it, yeah. Of, like, but, oh,
yeah,
my bad.
He's still extremely innocent.
That's the second time that I've missed, like, an important thing because I was writing something down.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It happens.
Sorry.
It happens. I do that too, though. It's not.
Yeah, so I got pulled out when it became a fucking bank heist movie for no reason.
I mean, all right.
There were other ways, like, there, he could have gone about it.
And there was a reason, but it was just a silly reason.
Yeah, and it was hilarious. Did I like it? Yes. Did it pull me out? Also yes.
Yes, also yes. Okay. Did you have a favorite character?
Well, I kind of liked everybody.
Oh!
There weren't any characters that I actively disliked. Like, I mean, Connor was a scumbag, mm-hmm. but we knew it. Daniel Craig's accent was terrible.
Yeah.
I wrote down at one point, there's something about Daniel Craig's accent that really bothers me. And it was just I did not like it.
Yeah.
I did not like it.
I thought the performances in this movie
were great.
Were amazing.
Were
to me.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
I didn't recognize Stanley Tucci for the first couple minutes. I was like, that looks an awful lot like Stanley Tucci. But isn't Stanley Tucci?
So I made a point. I wrote down, Stanley Tucci is remarkably better dressed this week than last week.
He was, yeah, very much.
Because in this one, he
better
plays...
Better hair, too.
Yeah, in this one, he plays like not a lawyer. He was like a neighboring family that they were like, they did business together. Because Tom Hanks went to see him and said, I want to work for you.
Oh, that's right, yeah, he was the one in Chicago.
Yeah, so he was like a head of another family. But they worked together.
Yeah.
And he's well-dressed, and his hair slicked back, and he's lighting cigarette. Like, he looked very suave. And then just last week, he looked so disheveled.
Yeah.
I mean, I really liked... I liked the son. I liked Michael. I liked Sullivan. I loved Paul Newman.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't go wrong with Paul Newman.
Never.
Yeah. So I didn't have one favorite character, but there wasn't anyone I actively disliked.
All right, fair enough. Did you have a favorite scene, though?
Did I have a favorite scene? I mean, I really liked the scene with the cars.
Yeah, with the driving.
For the wrong reason. No, my favorite scene was towards the end when Sullivan shoots Rooney. And it's that beautiful, the combination of the cinematography and the music where Rooney's got his hand on the car door, and the driver slumps forward, he's dead, he knows it's the end, and they just have this beautiful orchestral music as these shots are firing out of the dark, mm-hmm. and just around him, people are being mown down, and he's just standing there, like, accepting his fate, waiting for it, and Tom Hanks walks up, and it's so hard for him to pull the trigger, and he does, and just that whole moment, like, I was focused on that moment, I was really into it. It was a really,
you know what really killed me in that scene? When Paul Newman's character goes, I'm glad it's you.
Yeah.
And then my heart just kind of broke. And I was just like, yeah, that's so rough.
But at the same time, like, he fucking deserved it.
Oh, absolutely.
He fucking deserved
it. Absolutely. Do not kill children. Do not kill children.
It wasn't that, per se, that bothered me. It was that Connor did something totally wrong.
Absolutely.
Like, Connor took it upon himself to murder, straight up murder, Sullivan's family, Sullivan's wife, and their youngest son.
Yeah.
Straight up murder.
Also, I thought it was a very interesting point where, like, he met Michael. He knew what Michael Jr. looks like, and yet killed the wrong brother.
Yeah. Well, no, because. And just didn't. No, give because a shit. The mom pulled the boy in front of her, and they shot him in the back.
Yeah, but still.
And he didn't look.
Okay, but he was also drunk.
But he was drunk.
And killed the wrong kid.
And so that's when they go to, and the lawyer is there offering the money, and he's like, why don't you and Peter go? And he's like, I can't go, Peter's dead. And that's when they realize, like, fuck, Michael's still alive, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But, so Connor fucked up, but not only, he tried to justify his actions by saying, like, the kid would have talked eventually. And Rooney had this very hard decision of, like, this is my son.
Yeah.
Who did this unspeakable thing. Do I support him or do I reject him? And at the same time, he has this son-like figure in Sullivan who is the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, Sullivan was a hitman.
So yes, but Sullivan, like, never did anything disrespectful
of course
to
not.
Him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he had so many conflictions. And then when Sullivan confronts Rooney and says, like, Connor's stealing money from you. Like, Connor's the one who's been scamming you the whole time.
Yeah, and then killing the people he's pinning it on.
Yeah.
To keep them from saying anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's when I stopped being sympathetic for Rooney, because he was like, it's my son. And it's like, yeah, but you groomed two sons. And the one who could do good, air quotes good, because it's a mafia movie,
yeah,
is standing right in front of you, and you're ostracizing him.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So that scene just with him getting gunned down, like, cinematically beautiful.
It was, yeah.
Beautiful.
All right. Do you have anything else you want to discuss?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Bring it.
So the first thing I wrote down was, this is a DreamWorks film? Were they working on this the same time as Shrek? It was 2002, right?
Yeah.
And Shrek was, like, 2001, 2002.
I'd imagine so, yeah.
Yeah! I like to think that there might have been, like, some camaraderie in the break room. Like, oh, what are you working on? I'm working on this weird cartoon about an ogre and a talking donkey. What are you working on? Murder. Tom Hanks is killing people. Like, I like that. I gave you a Tucci point.
Yes, Tucci points.
Just right at the beginning, just because I saw his name on the screen.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Stanley Tucci's in this. Plus one. I loved at the beginning when he's just casually smoking a pipe. Oh, when the little boy is just casually smoking a pipe. I gave you +2 points for Paul Newman.
Yay!
I love Paul Newman. Let me just... I'm just going to read all my Paul Newman-related notes for now. I really hope Paul Newman and Tom Hanks are playing together for real at the piano.
They were.
Cool. I'm great. I'm glad about that. Uncle Connor is busy chain-smoking and being dramatic.
Yeah, I'm busy. Doing what, dude?
Doing what? Do you watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
No.
Oh, they do a song called Sexy French Depression, and that was all I thought of.
Sexy French Depression.
He was in a sexy French depression. It's also fucking hysterical. That was a good one. Oh shit, the kid's in the back seat, and they have Tommy guns for some reason. Probably a bad reason.
Tommy guns never end well.
Yeah, Tommy guns never do. Well, I never thought I'd be creeped out by Paul Newman, and yet here we are. All in caps, do not fuck with Paul Newman.
Yeah.
And then I put a reminder, remind me to tell my salad dressing story. So, I'm gonna tell my salad dressing story.
I'm gonna have some coffee.
Okay. So, it's a very short story. And I might have even told you before. So, before I moved out to California, I used to work at nursing homes. Mm-hmm. And we, one of the facilities I worked at, we had, Bristol Plymouth students. We had vocational nursing students who would come in and help us in the mornings. And so they would help serve coffee and help run games and stuff like that. So we were doing an activity on our dementia unit where it was a discussion group, and we were reading through, like, the top 25 greatest actors of the 1900s, of the 20th century. And so, of course, Paul Newman pops up. And one of the things we were talking about is we did, like, actors and musicians. Like, and so we talked about who the residents remembered versus who the kids knew. Because the residents are 70, 80, 90 years old. Mm-hmm. And then these are, like, 15, 16-year-old kids. So they knew Elvis, and they knew Frank Sinatra. But they didn't know Sammy Davis. And they didn't know Dean Martin.
Oh.
Yeah. So we got to Paul Newman, and I said, Paul Newman just has the most beautiful blue eyes you've ever seen. And one of the girls says, oh, that name sounds familiar. Do you have a picture? So I was using an iPad, and I show her the picture, and she's 15, and she goes, oh, I know who that guy is. He's on my salad dressing. Because of the Newman's Own brand.
Yeah. No, I understand.
But the whole room just burst out laughing.
My heart just broke. He's on my salad
He's on my salad dressing. See? That's a good story.
That is a good story.
Holy shit, Connor didn't see him. Where the kid's on the porch, and Connor's, like, taking off the mask. And I'm like, he sees this kid, right? But he was seeing his own reflection in the mirror, and he didn't see the kid. Do it, Paul Newman. Beat up James Bond. damn, Tom Hanks, you cold. try to get some sleep. Not fucking likely after seeing half your family gunned down. If Rooney only controls one town, how is there so much crime in it? You have one job.
And you fail at it.
Is there a big Irish area near Chicago? Like a big Irish community?
You know what? I don't know.
Because I didn't really know where the movie was set until he was like, we're going to Chicago. So I was like, oh, this isn't Boston? Like, this isn't a suburb of Boston?
No, I think it was New York.
No, they were in, like, Illinois or something.
Oh.
But I didn't know. With a name like Michael Sullivan, I was going to say Michael O'Sullivan.
I know.
The name like Michael Sullivan, I assumed it was Boston adjacent. I assumed it was somewhere near where we grew up. And then when he said, we're going to Chicago, and he drove overnight to get to Chicago, I was like, maybe they're in, like, Indianapolis or somewhere out there.
Philly or something, maybe?
No, because they drove...
North.
East. So, I don't know.
I don't know. What's up?
Just was curious. I gave you plus 1 point for Paul Newman and Stanley Tucci in the same room. Same room.
Yes.
Jude Law's in this movie? I didn't remember seeing his
Rock Island, Illinois.
Okay, cool. And Jude Law is a murder victim photographer. So almost everything about Jude Law creeped me the fuck out.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about some of the things that creeped me out about Jude Law. His teeth, his fingernails, just his creepy smile.
Mm-hmm.
Was this the year that, like, 5 Jude Law movies came out?
This was definitely around that time.
Yeah, because he had been acting, he had done like a 90s movie or whatever, and then he did a bunch of movies filming them in production, and then they all just happened to premiere in the same, like year and a half.
Yeah.
So, like, in the same year and a half, he had like 6 movies all come out, and they were like, what the fuck has he been doing?
Yeah.
And he's like, it's been 6 years, you know? Yeah, so.
Yeah, he was creepy as hell in this movie. Especially in his first scene where... Because, like, he doesn't make an appearance until an hour in.
Mm-hmm.
And his first scene is him just...
He pays off the police.
Yeah, he's paying off the cop to get private time with the body. And then he realizes that the man is not dead.
Right.
And then kills him.
Kills him, yep. I gave you plus 1 point for the line, you're a baby who doesn't know his thumb from his dick.
I like that line.
With Stanley Tucci screaming it at James Bond. The whole fight in the bridal suite was pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
That kid is too good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Michael was a much better person than Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
Sullivan has become a better parent as he becomes a better bank robber.
Yeah. I mean.
Of course he's more like you. You fucking named him after yourself.
Yeah, but you know what he meant.
I knew what he meant.
Yeah.
Connor Rooney, the Mike Sullivans have fucking got you. I have a favorite quote from your movie.
Oh, give it.
And there is only one guarantee, none of us will see heaven.
Yeah, I liked that one.
Yeah, that was really beautiful. Yes, I'd be crying if I had to shoot Paul Newman, too. Oh my god, I want that house with the dog at Perdition.
Right?
That was a gorgeous house. And, aw, he went back to that family.
Yeah, oh, I'm really glad he went back to that family. Oh,
and then at one point I wrote down, turn around, creepy guy's not dead yet! So Tom Hanks is in the house and he's looking out at Michael playing with the dog, and I didn't see him sitting in the background.
I didn't either.
But, like, he was just standing there, and I was like, all right, creepy guy's not dead yet. Creepy guy's not dead yet.
Yeah, like, we forgot about him. He's gonna fucking show up.
Yeah,
we forgot about him.
But I didn't.
Yeah.
I did not forget about him. So I was like, he is... And then I saw, like, movement in the background. I was like, he's right behind you! Like, ah! So, yeah, and then I wrote, you know, the movie foreshadowed Tom Hanks dying, but I still kind of held out hope that he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really all I have.
But that's what I'm... But you know what I mean about how there's only one true good guy in this movie.
And it's the son.
And it's the son.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, that poor...
It definitely has a gray area where it comes to morality and ethics, because Mike Sullivan does kill people, yes. But he also, like, does it out of loyalty. And he does it out of family, and does it out of, like, compassion and caring for people. So, like, it's weird.
My dog just yawned.
In our faces,
and it smells so bad. It's so bad.
Ugh, Lando, go lay down.
Bud, you're killing me with the breath.
All right.
Come on, bud. Go sit
down. All right.
All right, you can try. All right, so... Why... I think I know where you're going to say for this, but why do you think I like this movie?
I'm going to refer back to The Godfather.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why. You like The Godfather, so you like this movie. Also, Tom Hanks is in it.
Yeah. Mainly it was Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And as I now realize, was Stanley Tucci and Jude Law and all these other people I didn't really know when I was 14.
Yeah.
I knew Tom Hanks, but that was about it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we watched my movie. And, you asked me before the podcast, so I will, before we started recording, so I will respect your wishes. We're going to skip the first question for now.
We're going to put it at the end.
We're going to put it at the end. So, Mandy, Persepolis.
Yes.
Did you, were there any parts of the movie where you were swept up in the movie?
Yes.
Okay.
I was so into it during her, like, French period.
Okay.
When she was in
Vienna.
Vienna. Mm-hmm. And she was just trying to make it work.
Yeah.
I was like, please work. Please work. I was like, I'm so into you and I'm so into...
So this movie had a couple of different parts of her life, of Marjan's life. So you got to see her as a very young child when the Shah is being overthrown and stuff like that. And then you get to see her as a young woman. Then you get to see her when she goes abroad for school.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to see her when she comes back and she goes to university.
Yeah.
And she's a young adult. So you really liked that sort of third part when she was in Vienna.
Yeah. And trying to find herself and basically figuring out, like, because when she got there originally, she was like, oh, these people are kind of the way I want to be, so I'm going to be with them and emulate them. And then she kind of realized, and I liked watching the progression of her going, no, you guys are fucking idiots. Like,
oh, when he,
like,
when,
how
when
dare
she,
you?
When she flips out on him about freedom, when she flips out on Momo.
Yeah.
And she's like, people are dying for freedom. It's not just some bullshit that you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it bothered me when I was watching her, like, try to conform. She kept trying to conform to all of these
which is strange groups. Because when she was in Tehran, she didn't conform. She was
didn't conform.
Well, yeah, and she was sort of the goofball. She was the one who bought illegal Iron Maiden cassettes and listened to punk music in her room and metal music. And then she goes abroad and she's trying to fit in. But she, you know, back in Tehran, like, she has a clear role. In Vienna, in Paris, she doesn't. And she's, yeah.
Yeah, and it broke my heart.
And it spirals.
It spirals bad.
It doesn't, it does not end up well.
No.
For her. At that point, it gets better. Were there any parts that that pulled you out?
Yes.
Okay.
I bang women like you and then throw them away.
That pulled you out?
That pulled me out.
Why?
Because I got so angry.
You were supposed to.
I know.
Incredibly offensive.
No, I know. And I wrote a note in here that, like, I understand that the violence and the language and the...
They're so important.
And the fact that it's an animated cartoon is supposed to be uncomfortable.
Right.
It's supposed to make you feel...
Right.
I understand that. I understand that was the point.
Yeah.
But I got so anxious. Right. And especially in that one scene, like, that line triggered me to a point where I started having palpitations in my heart, and I was so upset, it took me out.
And you are in that scene, right? So we're almost 30. We're mm-hmm. almost 30. We're probably the age of the mother.
Yeah.
What if you were the 12-year-old?
Oh, yeah.
Who heard it.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I think that would, like, that they did not in this movie, you know, even though it is a cartoon, you're right, they did not shy around the fact that these things are happening to people and to children.
And around children.
And around
children. There was never once an inclination that they shouldn't be saying these things around children.
Yeah.
There was never a moment.
Nope. Even like with the, another scene that's similar was, when she's in university and they want the women to wear wide-legged pants and longer headscarves. And she's like, you're telling us to dress more modestly, and yet some of them are dressed with pants so tight you can see their penises.
Yeah.
Like, that. Where is that? That's hypocritical. That's contradictory.
And also still relevant.
So relevant.
So much of this movie was so relevant.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that was honestly, like, that coupled with the violent language, that's why I kind of... was like, in the current political climate.
Yeah, in the current... And I wrote down a whole bunch of quotes that are still accurate. Like, right now, this country is a shithole.
Yep.
Thanks, Grandma.
Yep. Thank you, Grandma.
The way a lot of the viewpoints are put forth, are it's just very mm-hmm. aggressive.
Yeah.
Like, the way when the 12-year-old version of Margie...
Marjan.
They called her Margie. Yes, they did.
No, they didn't.
Marjan?
Her name is spelled Marjane. So they call her Margie.
Margie.
Yeah.
Okay. When 12-year-old Margie goes, my grandfather was a prince and a communist.
Yeah, they did. Like, they do talk very highly about communism.
They do.
Because it was, I mean, it was
the period.
It was the 70s, yeah. and the Soviet Union was a huge power in that area. So, yeah.
Yeah. And the other one I want to say, when the 12-year-old goes, I know your father is a murderer. I forgive you.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Part of it, I would say, is, like, the parents make an effort to keep their child educated and informed about what's going on.
Yes.
But at the same time, they're compromising her childhood a little bit.
And her viewpoint.
Well, no, because at the very beginning, she says that the only things that she wants is to grow, like, she wants to grow up, like, she wants breasts or whatever, and she wants to be a prophet.
Yeah.
She wants to be a prophet, so, like, God pops up.
Oh, we'll get to God in this. I had many notes about God in here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was not pleased.
You were not pleased to see God?
I was not pleased to see God.
Okay.
But let's go on with the questions. We'll get there.
Well, I get the next question. You told me the scene that pulled you out, so did you have a favorite character?
Yeah, the grandma.
I thought you were going to say God.
No, no, no. The grandma.
The grandma.
She is absolutely my favorite character.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And...
She's great.
Let's talk about God for a second.
Okay.
Because I was so taken aback by... Where did I write it? And then God appears.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like this movie was extremely, I don't want to say heavy-handed, because mm-hmm. it wasn't preachy,
mm-hmm.
but it was very heavy-handed. Like, with the all-seeing God, and she speaks to God, and God speaks back to her.
Well, I didn't think of it like that. I thought of it as an internal monologue. I thought of it as, even before the Islamic Revolution, Iran, while being modernized, was still a heavily religious place.
Yes.
So it was perfectly reasonable for her to think that that communicating with God makes sense. And she really only does it as a child. It happens later when she's very sick and she's hallucinating. But that her connection with the religion, I think, with her talking to God and her sending God away is sort of her losing her childhood a little bit more
and
every
losing
time.
The innocence and the
because of course when you're a little kid you're like, I'm gonna be the president, I'm gonna talk to God, I'm gonna be a prophet. And when she finally sends him away, she sends him away because her uncle Anoush is killed.
Mm-hmm.
He's a political prisoner and he's executed, and she's like, you didn't save him. And he said, it wasn't my fault. And she says, go away.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's when she starts to realize that, like, it's not a game. It's not fun. It's real life. It's honest. It's earnest.
Because earlier in the movie, mm-hmm. when her parents were discussing, like, how the current power came to be,
mm-hmm.
she got very upset because she was like, but God chose him.
Yeah.
Because
that's what my teacher said.
That's what she was taught.
Right.
And I wrote that I enjoyed the fact that after she told God to leave her alone, her grandmother became her all-knowing, all-seeing, conscious power.
Yeah.
Because her grandmother was very much a no-bullshit person.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really enjoyed that, where she's like, I'm not sugarcoating shit.
The quote that I wrote down for this movie is a quote from the grandmother. I'm gonna read it. Because you wrote down a few quotes as well, but I wrote down a long one. So it says, in life you'll meet a lot of jerks. If they hurt you, tell yourself that it's because they're stupid. That will keep you from reacting to their cruelty, because there's nothing worse than bitterness and vengeance. Always keep your dignity and be true to yourself.
True.
I love that. One scene that really shocked me, because you mentioned the scene that that really shocked you, was the scene with the mother and the daughter in the parking lot. The one that really got to me was when they made the decision to send her away, and the mother says, like, do you know what happens to people, like, to women?
Yeah.
It's illegal to execute a virgin.
Yeah.
So they marry her to a guard.
They force marry her, rape her,
and then kill her. Yeah. And that's when they make the decision to send her away. Like, and that's another learning point for her, where it's, okay, this isn't a game. This is real life. This is how the world is now. It's sort of a couple of different instances where it's like, oh, this is what the world is now.
Yeah, she went from a very naive, like, sweet
child
to
rebellious teenager.
Yeah, a very rebellious teenager who had a crash course in the world sucks.
Yeah. And then she goes to Vienna, and she's trying to fit in because she figures if she fits in, she can't, she's not,
alone?
No, she's not alone, but she's not an extremist. Like, she's not a rebel.
Yeah, and she was also lying about where she came from.
Yeah, she said she was from France.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if she fits in with everyone, if she does what everyone else is doing, she can't be singled out. She can't be persecuted, you know? And then even that doesn't work.
Yeah.
She has to realize that she's an individual. She has to realize that, you know. Did you have a favorite scene?
It's the Eye of Tigers. that's my fucking favorite scene.
I guess that the real Marjan really liked that song. They use a lot of music.
Oh, yeah. I wrote Iron Maiden. A+.
Yeah. So I guess for that scene, they had to do it a couple of times because Chiara Mastroianni, who did the voice, is a very good singer. And Marjan is like, no, you need to sing it off key because I am not a good singer.
Yeah.
So, like, that song is so awkward.
Yeah, and
like,
I love it so much.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. That was one of the few moments that I was like, oh, this is kind of optimistic.
Yeah.
This is kind of...
But it was also, especially in that part of the movie where she was like...
She was trying to get her life back on track.
She was trying to get her life back on track. And I wrote, towards the end of the movie, my notes became less specific and just more general thought.
Uh-huh.
Because I wrote, like, poor Marge. Like, poor girl. Like, I feel you when you like a boy. And he's like, no, I'm gay.
Yeah. Thank you for helping me realize I'm gay. One of my favorite stories that a friend ever told me was I was in college. And we were probably, like, juniors or whatever. And this friend came up to me. It wasn't you. This friend came up to me, and I was like, hey, you look really bummed out. What's wrong? And she's like, well, I just found out that my ex-boyfriend and that I dated for quite a long time just won Mr. Gay Rhode Island. And I'm like, yeah, that'll do it.
Congratulations.
That'll do it. It's like, at least you dated a winner.
I mean, yeah, it's more than I can say. Because I have had gay boyfriends in the past who've turned out to be gay after.
I have not.
Well, we're going to move on. But, like, it started with that, and then it went to, like, family sucks.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Like,
yeah.
Don't run because your butt will jiggle and it's not modest. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you hard.
That is, I think, one of the, like, worst thing, because they don't go into specifics with this movie in, like, it is about the Islamic Revolution in Iran, but they don't go into any specifics on Islam.
No.
What they basically go into is specifics on conservatism.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the part that you can be like, oh, in today's political climate, like, that, like, she's told she can't run because her butt jiggles.
Yeah, and it's distracting. Immodest. Yeah.
It's like, who the fuck is it distracting? Oh, the creeps who are staring at my ass.
Yeah.
Like, why do I not get that respect, but you do? Yeah. Like, why do I have to wear a longer headscarf and wide pants to hide my figure, but they can wear pants so tight that you can see the outline of their dicks through them?
Yeah.
Also, then, like, how is that appealing to anyone?
I don't know.
Maybe that's just a personal thing. I don't know.
But it just, a lot of things in this movie, especially surrounding the feminism part of it, got me really upset, especially considering that she was scared for herself to be caught outside wearing makeup. And so she told the police that
A random guy
was
making lewd remarks at her.
Yeah, and he ended up getting arrested.
Yeah. And he probably got the shit beat out of him.
Yeah.
If not
for nothing. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
He, like, did look at her when she walked by him, but that was the most of it.
And it was a look like acknowledgement, like, oh, a person's walking by.
Yeah, it was not, he wasn't lewd staring, he didn't make a comment, he didn't do anything untoward. Mm-hmm. And he got the fucking shit kicked out of him for no fucking reason. Yeah. And I was 100% with the grandma. I was like, you're a bitch.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a really
shitty
thing.
What the fuck?
Integrity. She just says, integrity.
Yeah.
To go back a little bit, to bring it a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah.
I just thought of The Simpsons. Hey, could you lighten up for a minute?
Yeah.
I loved the scene when she breaks up with the boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. I wrote down, divorce your shitty husband.
No.
We're talking about the other one.
She talks about this first love, and, like, he's drawn is really cute, and they have all these, like, cutesy things. And then, like, as she starts to think about it, she realizes, like, oh, no, he was awful. He was the worst. Like, there were so many warning signs, and I just didn't. And I was like, oh, yeah, yes, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
But
then,
I liked it.
Her shitty fucking husband.
Yeah, they got,
but, like, I was like, I got so frustrated because, like, they couldn't be seen out in public together.
Right.
Because it was considered indecent.
Right.
So the solution
is to get married.
Yeah. You've never actually been on a date with this person.
Well, they had been on dates, but they got in trouble for driving together in a car.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was driving, which I thought was, like, because I know that that's a huge thing, too. Like, women aren't supposed to drive it.
That's in Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia, right.
But it is, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a thing they tried to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was just,
Yeah.
Just emotionally drained.
Yeah.
After this movie.
That movie is very emotionally drained.
I don't have anything past this.
Okay.
Cool.
Another
question.
So we did your favorite character. We did your favorite scene. Why do you think I like this movie? What part of this movie made you think, oh, that's why Sam likes this movie?
Well, watching someone go through such hardships and coming out on the other end a better person.
Definitely.
Is definitely a great plus.
Yep.
Feminism. Go feminism.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Go sassy grandma.
Yeah. I had a sassy grandma.
You did. You have a sassy grandma. I also have a sassy grandma.
I never got to meet your sassy grandma.
Oh, she was the best.
Yeah.
Oh, she was the absolute best. It was so great. But, yeah, it was just,
it's the feminism and the Iron Maiden. Like,
that's the music. Yeah, I figured it was the feminism and the music.
Feminism and the Iron Maiden.
There was one image, and I want to bring this up. There was one image of God when he raised his eyebrow at her, and I want that gif.
Oh, yeah?
To use every day.
For someone who didn't like God just showing up in this movie, no, he that was like God showing up in this movie.
I only liked him in that one instance where he was like, he just raised his eyebrow, like,
Was it when he? Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
When Karl Marx was there?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, when Karl Marx showed up and I was like, why? What acid trip are we on and right now?
See, and I loved it too because I immediately recognized it was Karl Marx and I didn't want to Sam the moment and be like, Mandy, elbow, you know that's Karl Marx, right?
Yeah.
I just figured you knew. And
I didn't. It took me a while.
But just, sorry. It's all right. But just like how irritated God is that Karl Marx is there.
Yeah.
He's just like, what the fuck are you doing here? Yeah. Like, I'm God. Why are Marxism. You here? No, I know. But like, God. Yeah. But God's just like, ugh, again with the Marxism.
Yeah, I know.
So, Mandy, did you like the movie?
I still have more notes.
You have more notes?
I think I have more notes.
No, I don't think you do.
We're going to poke his eye out.
Oh, yeah, when, yep.
For no fucking reason.
When they were little kids and they didn't know any better.
When she's in school, when she's at school, that's such a fucking white person problem that she's complaining about a 13-hour flight to go. Yeah. And I was like, fuck.
Oh, no, the whole thing was really...
It was all white people problem.
It could be white people problems for sure, but it was definitely first world problems. First world problems, that was what I thought. Yeah. It was like, oh, I have to travel to Brazil to see my father. I have to spend 2 weeks in Monte Carlo. Yeah. Meanwhile, she can't go home. Because that it means she has to tell them how she lives. But also, like, if she goes home to Iran, it's entirely possible they won't let her come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, she's gonna try to call her family and pretend like everything's okay. Yeah.
And my last note was literally just, I want a pipe like the grandmother had at the end.
Oh, yeah, like an old school pipe?
Yeah, I want one of those. Make it happen.
Okay. You've got a birthday coming up in 6 months.
So, yes.
So, Mandy.
Yes.
Did you like this movie?
I did.
Okay.
I did like the movie.
Okay.
It made me feel things.
Do you think it's possible to like a movie but have it, make you feel negative things?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think that was the point of this movie.
Yes.
The whole point of this was to make me uncomfortable.
Well, not to you specifically.
No, not me specifically, but the viewer.
I think the movie's twofold in that it is... to tell a true story of how it felt to personally experience a sort of radical religious revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So it is that, to get like a...
That's an experience I'm never going to have.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah. We're knocking on wood.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, that's an experience we never have to go through, but that's important that when you have... You need to hear, history's written by the victors. So you need to be able to hear other accounts of what happened.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's going to last could just be propaganda.
Which is what history has done in most cases.
Systemically.
Read an American U.S. history book.
Listen to another podcast called The Dollop.
Yeah.
And you'll hear all about it.
Yeah.
They're not our sponsors, but if they want to, if they're down, like, we'll do it.
But listen anyway.
Yes, listen anyway. But so there's that. And so not only is history always written by the victors, it's almost entirely written by men. Yeah. So having a female perspective of a radical religious revolution, like, I think that's one part of it. And then another part of it is just a true story of someone who goes through so much trauma and does not know how to process it. Like, one of the things that really stuck out to me is when she's in the therapist's office and she has this conversation with him and he's only really half paying attention.
Yeah.
And... It ultimately doesn't go well because he puts her on antidepressants that basically turn her into a zombie. But the conversation she has, the summary of what she says is basically like, I've suffered through so much with this revolution, but I can't talk about it because so has everybody else. And so, like, she goes home and she sees her friend who fought in the war who lost an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
And she's like, my problems seem trivial compared to his problems, so I don't feel like I should talk about my problems, but they're... making me feel bad. And that was what related to me a lot because that's that type of person that I bottle everything up until I explode. Why am I gonna tell you about my shitty problems? You have your own shitty problems to worry about.
Because I'm your friend.
She just got like really close to say
Because we've had this conversation so many times.
But that's what I mean. So no, like that was the twofold part of this is the historical account, but then also that personal account of how do you handle this as a person?
Yeah.
And you notice that the movie ends very ambiguously.
Oh, absolutely.
One, because Marjane Serrapi is still alive. So, like, she's still living her life. Like, there are more stories from her life. But it's also, you know, you leave it up to, it's really left up to you. How well do you think Marjane would do in Paris? Like, knowing what she...
After seeing the story she told us...
She has to do better in
she
Paris
has to do better, than she did. Because there's really no option.
Well, not no option, but I mean, she has learned so much and grown so much that her being alone in another country... This movie was nominated for an Academy Award.
Oh, really?
She's doing pretty fucking good.
Well, I didn't even mean, like, she had to do better. As, like, she had to have learned so much and gone through so much to not travel back. Because in my own experience, and what I've learned over the last 20 years...
Yeah. Almost 30.
Well, yeah, but I didn't learn much in the first 10. Let's be real. Let's be real!
True, true.
Okay, in the first 15. Anyway. but, like, I'm never going to go back to the mistakes I've made. And right. So I trust that she's also not going to go back to the mistakes that she's made.
That she's learned enough about herself and she's learned enough about the world at large that she can succeed.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's how I saw it. And I was like, okay, yeah. And it gave me a little bit of that hope feeling in mm-hmm. my chest, mm-hmm. which is how I like to come out of movies. But it was also... Mm-hmm. a very heavy feeling on my chest because of all of the things that I related to in this movie. Especially considering I'm not the same religion.
Yeah.
I'm not the same ethnicity. The only common ground I had with her was that she was a woman.
Yeah. And you still relate to her.
And I still relate to her so much.
Yeah. I thought that was
important. And almost every...
Yeah, that's important. So, time to pick a winner. I'm a little biased because I have also read the graphic novel.
Okay.
For Persepolis, and it goes into a little bit more detail than the film. Although I will say the art style is almost exactly the same.
Okay.
So, I have to go with Persepolis, just on my end, just because it's an impactful story that remained with me after we watched it. Like, you mentioned that last week with Moonlight, is like, you watched it, and it stayed with you for a while. Like, I watched this movie, and it's going to be on my brain for the next few days. Because when I finished reading the book, like, normally I'm a person who's reading, like, 4 books at a time. And then I finish a book and go right into another book. I finished this book, and I had to take days off.
Yeah.
Like, I had to sit with it and think about what I had read.
And that is part of the reason why I did not want to answer the question, did I like it first?
Fair.
Because I hadn't processed it yet. I needed to talk it out.
Yeah.
I needed to think about it.
Yeah.
Away from it.
And I want to stress, too, that Road to Perdition was a beautiful movie. Beautiful movie. It's Sam Mendes was the director. Mm-hmm. You didn't mention who the director was.
No, I didn't mention
He went on to do the James Bonds with Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
No, which are also pretty, like, visually stunning
movies. It was beautifully shot, beautifully performed by everyone. But I am going to agree with you
that Persepolis. Yep. There's no H.
Persepolis was just...
It's going to stay with you.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to think about this movie the rest of the weekend. For sure.
Especially with what we're doing the rest of the day.
Yeah. Especially with what we're doing today.
Yeah.
For
so,
sure.
You won.
All right.
Good job.
Thank you.
Checking her off.
Awesome. I just want to stress that, like, I did love your movie, but it's...
But you know what? As much as I really love Road to Perdition, it doesn't stick with me like this well.
Yeah.
This movie hit me in a place that a movie with one female mm-hmm. isn't gonna hit.
Yeah.
I got her. I understood. Yeah. I felt her pain.
Yeah, your movie did only have one woman in it.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It did only... And she died.
And she died,
really,
like,
early
pretty
on.
Quickly. Although, I will say, what was I going to say? I was going to say, I will say one thing about your movie. I don't remember what I was going to say.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Well, we have to pick for the next week.
Probably a lie. Oh, yeah, I get to pick. Cool.
Okay.
While I'm picking, special shout out to all of the people who are tuning in every week. Special shout out to Brittany. Last week was your birthday. So happy birthday, Brittany.
Happy birthday.
Hopefully, what I'm going to try to do next year for Brittany's birthday is I'm going to try to be there with her in Germany.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. So after we spend a bunch of money with what we're doing today, I can't spend any more money for the next 12 months because I have to save it for that. So shout out to Brittany, Christina, Andrea, Justin, Adam, Peter, stuff like that. If you are enjoying the movies, let us know what you think of the movies. If you actually get a chance to watch any of the movies, yeah. Or if you have different opinions on some of the movies.
Oh, yeah, I love the open discussions.
Yeah. Brittany sends me pretty regular emails about how she likes to watch the movies after we talk about them and just sort of opinions she's got on them. And some of them, I can't tell you the number of emails that she sent me where she's like, I totally agree with what Mandy said. But I think I gotta pick your movie anyway, and I'm like,
and you know what? And that's fine. It's not the and as much as in the beginning of this podcast you said Mandy's gonna want to win. I'm genuinely just enjoying the discussions of the movies.
Okay, so that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah,
I remembered now. So I wanted to do this podcast in part because there are so many movies that I think that you would like. That just because of your own stubbornness, you won't watch. And it's the same thing with me in music. Like, I'm such a music snob that if someone is like, I think you'll like this, I will wait 10 years before I fucking pick up an album. Yeah. Just out of spite.
And,
like, that's as petty as I get. So I'm using almost all of my movie selections to be like, I think that Mandy will like this movie. And I just think that she's not giving it a chance. For whatever myriad of reasons you've got going on in your Mandy brain. Like, I think, like I said before, I think you'd like Flash Gordon. Because
I will.
You liked Big Trouble in Little China. Your opinion changed.
My opinion changed, yeah.
Flash Gordon is dumb. It's so fucking dumb.
I do enjoy dumb movies every once in a while.
Right.
Yeah.
But this movie, I think that if this movie popped up on your Netflix recommendations,
I wouldn't have watched it.
You'd be like, I don't know what the fuck that is, scroll.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck Persepolis is. I don't even know how to say
it. When you texted to me, I was like, the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And you're like, it's a movie and a graphic novel. And I was like, great. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
You never would have given it a chance.
No.
And that's where I'm coming from. Like, I could be the asshole to be like, I want to fuck with Mandy, so I'm going to make her watch a movie she really hates. Or a movie that she wouldn't...
No, that's not what
we're doing. But I'm... Yeah, and that's why, like, I've changed my movie selections a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Just, like, I don't think you would have given this movie a chance. I don't think you would have given Doctor Strangelove a chance.
Absolutely not.
Like, there are so many... I don't even think you would have given Howl's Moving Castle a chance.
2 years ago? No, I wouldn't have.
No.
But since I've moved out to California, absolutely.
Yeah. So we have a category.
We have a category?
Space movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
My God.
So we're going from hard-hitting family film to movie in space.
Space movie.
And I want to, so first movie that comes to mind for me with space is like Star Wars. So like, this isn't a movie that's about like NASA. This is a movie that takes place in space, right? That's what we want?
That's space what we want. Movie. And I'm pretty sure that's what we picked. At least I picked. I think I have a movie for this category.
I don't remember if I have a movie for this category.
I like when I have a movie and she doesn't.
I don't. Well, I don't remember. I had so many categories so frequently that I don't keep track. And honestly, I don't really have to.
No, you don't. Because your decision-making process is way faster than mine.
Yeah, because I can just assume you haven't seen it.
Well, no, I also overthink like crazy.
That's true. I met you. So thank you for listening to this week's episode of Me Versus You. We'll be back next week with space movies.
Space.
We're get ready.
Space.
Wait, have you seen Spaceballs?
I have seen Spaceballs. It is a staple in the Mitchell household.
Excellent. Because you know what we should watch. Like, we should, we'll make our own picks, right?
Yeah.
But then we're going to watch Galaxy Quest when we're done.
Right? Oh, we're, always. If you have not seen Galaxy Quest, you need to go watch it.
Yeah.
It is Tim Allen, Alan Rickman, Sigourney Weaver.
Sam Rockwell.
The guy from Monk.
Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub is in it?
And that's the guy from Monk.
Yeah, is he in it?
I don't know. I think you're thinking of Enrico Colatani, the dad from Veronica Mars.
Maybe it's that.
The dude from Just Shoot Me. He's in it for sure.
I think, yeah. Yeah, the movie's fucking amazing.
Either way.
It's amazing.
Either way, we're going to turn the podcast off now.
Yeah. All right, we got to go. Bye, guys.
Bye.